or the birthday of the spiritual master who is coming in a line of disciplic succession. That line of disciplic succession where one guru after another succeeds in many, many generations goes back all the way to Vyasadeva, who 5,000 years ago wrote down the Vedic literatures. So the spiritual master is worshipped as the representative of Vyasadeva, who is delivering to us the very same conclusions as were recorded within the Vedic literatures, unchanged. That is the principle of the disciplic succession, that the knowledge that was there originally is, although so much time has passed, still being delivered in the very same way. Because the truth remains the truth for all time, place and circumstances and doesn't require any changes or adjustments, but rather can be presented in the very same way. Although each great acharya or teacher by example may have his own individual nature and his own individual way in which he presents this transcendental knowledge. And therefore, today on this celebration of Vyasa Puja, we are offering worship to Srila Prabhupada in that way, as the representative of the Sampradaya coming directly from Krishna, or the line of disciplic succession, who is giving us pure transcendental knowledge. We sang different prayers. We sang the prayer of Guru Vastakam, which was led by Guru Padma Prabhu, Sansaradava Nanalila Loka, which describes the transcendental qualities of a spiritual master who is not an ordinary personality at all, but who is as good as God, and who has, because he's the direct representative of God, he is completely dedicated to him, and his mission is only to satisfy the work of the Supreme Lord. And in that way, that Supreme Spiritual Master is our direct connection with Krishna. And through him, we can reach Krishna. It is not possible to approach Krishna directly. One may have devotion in his heart, one may feel attraction for Krishna, but still, if you want to approach Krishna, you must go through a bona fide spiritual master. Because only he is connected to Krishna in such a way that he is aware of the desire of Krishna, whatever is pleasing to Krishna. Krishna reveals his desire either in the revealed scriptures or through the heart of such a spiritual master. Therefore, only through such a spiritual master can we receive the mercy of Krishna. And therefore, on an occasion like today, we are not only worshipping and remembering the glories of the spiritual master, but also our relationship of dependence upon him. And we realize that that relationship of dependence depends on how much we take shelter of his words, of his instruction. So knowing well that we may have not succeeded so well, we may also contemplate on how we can renew our relationship with the spiritual master on the day of his Vyasa Puja. And again, with renewed surrender, we vow to once again try completely with fresh energy to give ourselves wholeheartedly to fulfilling his desire. So, what we have offered to Srila Prabhupada, you can see, the book that he's holding in his hand, is then the Vyasa Puja book. It is a book with offerings of disciples of Srila Prabhupada and followers of Srila Prabhupada from all over the world who have written some words of glorification about his wonderful qualities, the wonderful work he did, and so forth. So we would like to continue this program with also some offerings of glorification of Srila Prabhupada, and we in particular want to invite some of the senior devotees present to speak and to make some offering in the glorification of Srila Prabhupada. There are, of course, various disciples of Srila Prabhupada here. Jagannanda Prabhu is here. Guru Padma Prabhu is here. Mother Nikunjavasini is here. Mother Mirdani. I don't know if I haven't seen anyone else. I think those are the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And we would like to invite them all to speak. Although Jagannanda Prabhu told me just that he would prefer to speak in the evening because he would like a little more time to prepare his offering. So, therefore, I will request Guru Padma Prabhu to speak. Something from the heart.
Come for it.
It's come.
No, I'm not here. I'm here.
Om Jnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacheri Shatarine. It is only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that Krishna consciousness is available to everyone, all over the world. If Srila Prabhupada wouldn't have come, then that was not there. Then only maybe someone by some good fortune could go to India and maybe meet some devotees there and maybe become Krishna conscious, or maybe not become Krishna conscious, because even in India there is a lot of confusion. And personally I appreciate very much this one aspect of Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada was this Vaishnava who was able to take away the confusion, the misconceptions, to make everything very clear, because Krishna consciousness is of course a very elevated philosophy. It is the highest, it is the Srila Prabhupada called Krishna consciousness the postgraduate study of all Vedic philosophy. Of course, there are so many other philosophies in the world, we don't even talk about them, because we know that Vedic philosophy is most elevated, because the Vedas are the breath of Lord Vishnu, and therefore they are referred to as aparusheya, which means there is no other evidence needed. So Srila Prabhupada is the one who took the absolute truth, the Vedic knowledge, and explain them in such a way that although it is very difficult to understand for a layman to come to Krishna consciousness, the highest understanding of the Vedic knowledge. Therefore Srila Prabhupada was called Bhaktivedanta Swami, which means Bhaktivedanta is the conclusion of the Vedas. He understood the conclusion of the Vedas. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa sarvairaham eva vedyo vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. The conclusion or the purpose of all the Vedas is just to learn to understand Krishna. Krishna is the one who wrote the Vedas. Krishna is the one who understands everything. He knows everything, so also the Vedas. So, and he is the purpose of the Vedas. So Srila Prabhupada, founded this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and so he, in a very simple way, he explained the highest truth. So very great intellectuals are joining this movement. We can see in Bhaktivedanta Institute how that scientists are also coming, and they also become attracted to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and they are very impressed with his books and his purports. This is for intellectual people, but also very simple people like myself. They come to Krishna consciousness and they can understand. So the highest intellectual, he can understand, and also the most simple person can easily understand. And this is very achintya, an inconceivable thing, and that is what I appreciate very much about Srila Prabhupada. Also, in India there is a lot of hotspots, Hindu hotspots, a lot of confusion, and Srila Prabhupada is very expert in bringing forward all the wonderful arguments to make everything clear, and many, many Indians are joining Srila Prabhupada's movement, and they see clear now. I think I would like to keep it at that point, that Srila Prabhupada is very clear and simple for simple people like me. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Guru Padmaprabhu, for making things clear. And because this is actually how it works in the disciplic succession, that the disciples of Srila Prabhupada can make it clear, can make Srila Prabhupada more clear to us. That is the process. And that's the whole purpose of going through this exercise where various devotees are expressing their heart. We are not expecting great works of art and poetry that have been written at hours of transpiration and breaking one's head and rewriting and all these things. We simply are hoping that spontaneously some few words will come out. And as we begin to speak, it becomes very nice, because everyone actually has a deep personal relationship with Prabhupada. And once we get over our shyness, then automatically we can speak endlessly. You sure you don't want a microphone, Jack?
I already spoke this morning. I can allow many devotees to speak.
Yes. So, Mother Nikunjavasini, could we invite you to come and speak? Yeah, I know.
We need a seat.
I have the fortune for the last 2 years to be asked to write the Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada for the Vyasa Puja book representing Radhadesh. So that gives a little bit of the pressure is off now. Usually the pressure is today, but it was a few months ago, so now it's easier to read. Just and actually, I always try to concentrate a little bit on representing the Radhadesh community. I hope the devotees will be agree with me in this offering. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my most humble obeisances at your lotus feet, which have traversed this globe, blessing all who were able to take advantage with the understanding that the goal of life is to serve Krishna and to love Him. Without your causeless mercy, this would have remained a secret, and we would have been doomed to get lost in the world of illusion. I'm writing you on your Vyasa Puja day on behalf of all the devotees of Radhadesh, one of the many homes you have created for your followers. From your humble start in New York in 1966, we have seen big projects develop. Bhubaneswara, Bangalore, New Delhi, and even bigger projects are developing now. All this is being done for your pleasure and by your potency. Devotees have been working hard, achieving apparently impossible tasks by your mercy. Trying to analyze where the foundation of that mercy lays, I come to the conclusion that it's found in your basic instructions. Chant 16 rounds, attend Mangalarti, worship the Guru and Krishna, observe the four regulative principles, and hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. These instructions are not new. You modeled them on the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami, and you mentioned that if we do not follow this, we will have to fall down. There is so much potency in this simple morning program. I can see that devotees who faithfully follow this process can take on so much to help spread Krishna consciousness. I get a glimpse of it myself whenever I actively engage in this sadhana process and make it a meditation. I make it a meditation to glorify you, Srila Prabhupada, by singing the Gurvastaka prayers and realizing that Nrisingadeva is here and wherever I go to protect me, and by praying to Srimati Tulsi Devi, who is so dear to Lord Keshava, to engage me in your devotional service to Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrajadham, to engage me in chanting the Maha Mantra with rapt attention, trying to avoid the 10 offenses, and to help me absorb my mind in the beautiful forms of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Lalita and Vishakha, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, and Sri Sri Gornitai, remembering that I am their eternal servant, praying for some service at their lotus feet. Then offering myself at your divine lotus feet in submission and surrender, begging that you will help, that you will accept me. Then joining together in a blissful kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, remembering that Krishna's name is Krishna and Krishna is his name, and that Krishna appeared to us in his deity form by your grace so we can serve him. Then hearing Srimad Bhagavatam with the care and attention and holding on to some instructions to inspire us to remember Krishna during our daily duties. Srila Prabhupada, you have given us so much to help us on our path back to Godhead. Many times you even told different devotees that if they follow this process of observing 4 regulative principles, chanting 16 good rounds daily, and following your instructions, that you will personally take them back to Godhead in this very lifetime. This was your promise. Knowing I am not qualified, but hearing that promise from you, and knowing who you are, you who are so dear to Krishna, and thus knowing that Krishna will keep your promise intact, gives me the conviction that it is possible. I just have to take care of my part of the deal, which is to follow you, Srila Prabhupada. We have seen in many special cases how devotees who had drifted away from devotional service were drawn back to your lotus feet at the time of death and were able to remember you and Krishna while leaving the body. Therefore, we have faith that others who have left due to unfortunate circumstances or by our mismanagement will not be forgotten by you and therefore also not by Krishna, who will give them special mercy because you are that special pure devotee who keeps Krishna under your control by your love. I would like to make a pledge on this auspicious day on behalf of this small Radha Desh Yatra, of which I am just an insignificant member. Following the mood of our temple president, who is very strict in his sadhana, I would like to pledge that by maintaining and increasing our individual attendance of your morning program, we would like to please you and serve you. And we have faith that by our combined effort, all our anartas, misunderstandings and deficiencies in running the yatra will disappear. We will be blissful in maintaining and increasing our relationships with you and with one another, creating such a Vaikuntha atmosphere in the temple that the guests will never forget this visit, their visit to Radha Desh, and they will want to join us somehow or other. This humble servant of yours is offering this prayer to you, that you may be pleased allow her to be one of some service to you in this nice Radha Desh Dham. The devotees of Radha Desh, Belgium.
Srila Prabhupada used to many times take to the example that when the iron is placed in the fire, that it becomes like fire. And therefore, although we may be insignificant conditioned souls, by placing ourselves within the fire of Krishna consciousness, we can become surcharged with spiritual energy. So Mother Nikunjavasini pointed out where that actual fire is and how to place the iron in the fire by taking shelter of the very simple morning program that Srila Prabhupada very nicely designed, and that is complete. That includes all the five principal aspects of devotional service which are mentioned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. So these five aspects of devotional service include the worship of the deity, the worship or the constant association with Srimad Bhagavatam, the association with devotees, and in specific with the pure devotees, the spiritual master, the finally, the most important, the chanting of the holy name, and of course, residing in Vrindavan, which is also present here in Radhadish, because wherever Sri Sri Radha Gopinath appear, the holy dham manifests itself. So in this way, the offering should be taken as one of great importance, because this sadhana will not only give the individual strength, but will unify the entire community and will give the entire community strength. So therefore, it is a very nice offering where everyone who is a member, everyone can take a lot of advantage from that offering. So then we would like to ask Mother Mirdani, you would like to speak sometime this evening maybe? Or rather not? Okay, fine. Not everyone is a great public speaker, but some people are silently serving Krishna steadily for many, many years. And it is this steadiness which Krishna recognizes. Of course, Krishna is so kind that he recognizes all service. Any little bit of service done for Krishna is recognized by him. He doesn't overlook a single devotee and a single bit of service done. But when he sees steady service, then he becomes very, very much purchased by that service. He begins to feel indebted. So therefore, when we see that devotees have maintained steady service at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada for many, many years, that itself is their offering of glorification of Srila Prabhupada, because action speaks louder than words. All right. I would like to offer a few points myself for your consideration, which are on my mind. At this time, especially, I feel that I would like to speak about Srila Prabhupada's unique position, unique in our spiritual lives as a unique person within the entire lineage of disciplic succession. When we look at the disciplic succession, we look at the greatest personalities, such as Rupa Goswami. We see personalities, Krishnadas, Kaviraj Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Goswami, and it comes all the way down, Narottam Das Thakur, finally Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. But still, in our lives, Srila Prabhupada is the unique personality, because, after all, he is the founder acharya of our movement. So I felt I had to make some points about this principle of founder acharya. But before that, I'd just like to tell a little story about a dream I once had. I told some devotees already about this dream, so bear with me if you heard it before. But once there was I had a dream that Prabhupada was huge. He was so big, his head was touching the clouds. And I saw a huge Prabhupada with his heads in the clouds, and there were big clouds also coming, some dark ones even, with lightning coming from them, and there was thunder. But you know how Prabhupada looks like with his chin raised high in a very noble, undisturbed way. So those clouds did nothing to him. So as I was watching this, I was thinking, just look how great and powerful Srila Prabhupada is. Nothing can deter him. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can upset him. He's completely fixed in his devotion to Krishna. Then I looked closer and I looked at Srila Prabhupada's kurta. And I saw that in the front of his kurta, at the height of his belly, there was a pocket. And that in that pocket, very tiny form, small, all the GBC was in that pocket. And I saw all the gurus and GBCs in Srila Prabhupada's pocket look over the edge, yes? And with their tiny heads, I saw Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Hare Krishna Maharaj, Jai Pataka Maharaj, you name it, I saw them all, right? Right there. And it made things so clear to me, that dream. It was such a nice dream, right? Because it showed how dear Srila Prabhupada's leading disciples are to Srila Prabhupada, that he personally keeps them in his pocket. Just see. He cares for them very much. Because they are his dedicated servants and followers. And they are very elevated, because anybody who's in the pocket of Prabhupada is pretty elevated. Immediately he gets lifted above the normal level of ordinary mortals who are just on the ground. Right? So to be so close to Srila Prabhupada is a tremendous gift and a tremendous mercy. As I sometimes say, that by the association of Srila Prabhupada, these personalities who are his representatives became polished and refined, and their hearts became enlarged like receptacles. It became bigger and bigger to receive more and more nectar. So they became like golden pots that were nicely polished by Srila Prabhupada, by his association. And special moments of special instructions became like jewels on these pots. So in this way, these wonderful personalities who became either spiritual masters or GBCs or other leaders within this movement, followers of Srila Prabhupada, they were lifted up in this way and became very potent to give mercy. So they have become such receptacles to give mercy. But they themselves are only able to give whatever mercy as they have the capacity to receive it from Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, as the founder Acharya, stands out as a giant. He stands out as the greatest Vaishnava of his time. We don't see anyone who can compare to him in very simple love for Krishna and therefore for all Krishna's devotees. And Prabhupada could see that ultimately everyone is Krishna's devotee. Somehow or other we have to make him aware of it. And therefore he loved every living entity dearly. In this way, with this all-pervading love, he was able to spread Krishna consciousness. And how can we forget? So he was the founder Acharya. So as the founder Acharya, he established, as I explained earlier on, the conclusions of the Vedas from Vyas. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada came at an interesting point in time, because it is a unique point in time when once in a day of Brahma, the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spreading all over the world. So just Prabhupada came at that point in time, not by accident, but by divine arrangement. And therefore Prabhupada came to Pusan, the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that mission is made of mercy. So Srila Prabhupada, as the founder Acharya, established the demarcation line, the line between the rules of the Vedic tradition and the point where it's no longer necessary to follow all these rules and regulations because of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, we are not so fanatic about so many Vedic rules. If we would be, then we would have to wash our hands 12 times with clay each time they would become contaminated. And there are so many ways they can become contaminated. If you touch your eye, your nose, your ear, 12 times with clay and then washing. We'd be washing all day. Huh? So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, by introducing the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, made spiritual life very easy, very simple, and very accessible to people who were not very capable. That was a unique position. And therefore, some people sometimes came and said, it's too simple. It cannot be that really that simple. It's got to be more complicated. I think that Prabhupada made it simple because the Western people were too simple to understand the real thing. Ha ha. And therefore I think he gave only ABC. But now that we have learned something, there's maybe more. Huh? They thought it was too simple. But they could not understand that actually the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made everything so simple. It is so simple, this Krishna consciousness. All you have to do is chant Hare Krishna and everything will come. You chant Hare Krishna sincerely as an offering to Krishna. You try to do it nicely and from that everything will come. Everything. It is quite amazing how simple this process is. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is the one who gave the most simple thing and the highest at the same time. It is. And anyone who teaches a little different is also nice, is also to be respected, but is teaching something a little more external, a little less to the essence of things. So Srila Prabhupada, as the founder Acharya, has of course arranged everything in this movement. The fact that there are some people waving chamaras, that we have only learned from Srila Prabhupada, right? For those who don't know what the chamaras are, those are those yak tails that are being waved as part of the worship. We learn all these things from Srila Prabhupada. How to do everything and anything, and everything, all the customs and practices that we follow today have been instituted by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, every devotee within this movement is directly following Srila Prabhupada and is close to Srila Prabhupada. And we should understand that in that way, Srila Prabhupada is the main Siksha Guru for everyone in this movement. And we should not doubt that. And of course, remember my dream? Remember the Gurus and the GVCs in the pocket? Remember? They are much smaller, no doubt. Much smaller. But remember how I explained how they've been polished? And how they can give nectar in their golden pots, and they have so many nice jewels also to show us and to the wonderful moments of association. So we should, although we accept Prabhupada as the greatest and the most important preeminent Siksha Guru in this movement, then we should not be immature and immediately then say, oh, the others are nothing. The present gurus, you know, down with them. They are insignificant. Prabhupada is the real one anyway. No. We should understand how within spiritual life, all the devotees together are cooperating to reveal Lord Krishna. Ultimately, all of our devotional service has only one purpose, to please Krishna. And we don't ask anything in exchange. Anya bilasita sunyam. We are free from any other desire. But still, in our heart of hearts, we have one desire, and that is to see Krishna face to face. And therefore, we secretly hope that by our service, somehow or other, he will reveal himself. Okay? And certainly by the combined effort of all the Vaishnavas and of the Sampradaya, Lord Krishna will reveal himself. Therefore, we should all accept that Srila Prabhupada is the most important spiritual master for this movement as the Siksha Guru. And simultaneously, we should give all importance to his disciple, spiritual masters and other leaders, Diksha, Siksha, whoever can deliver us the transcendental knowledge and worship them and appreciate them also accordingly. But we must be careful that we do not overshadow Prabhupada in the worship of others side by side by Prabhupada, because as the founder Acharya, most worship is undoubtedly due to him. And on this day, I just want to, of course, all of us know this point, but I want to again remind us of that importance of Srila Prabhupada and how he is the principal guru and how the most pleasing service that anyone can render in this movement is to glorify Srila Prabhupada. And to glorify Srila Prabhupada more. And to keep on glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Like recently, I was in France, and one devotee said, the mistake was, of course in France they always know what the mistake was, but he said that the mistake was that we stopped the worship of Srila Prabhupada after the centennial. And I thought he was right. Of course we didn't stop, but we got a good thing going at the centennial in the glorification of Srila Prabhupada. So therefore let us continue in this spirit of constantly worshipping Srila Prabhupada in a very glorious way, and think of more ways to spread his name, fame and glories. Because by doing so, we will become united. We will become enlivened. We will feel like brothers and sisters. We will become gentle in our dealings. We will care because he cared. Because every time we look at his example, we will become enlivened. And this is what is actually the binding factor in this movement. What will keep this movement together. Therefore, I will say it one more time. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Let us glorify Srila Prabhupada. And let us glorify him more and more. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. So then we will continue this glorification with offerings of all the devotees. Every devotee is invited. You don't have to be a temple devotee. You can also be a devotee who lives at home. But every devotee can prepare some offering for this evening when we start again. I think it's 6 o'clock. I do not have a copy of the printed schedule here. Anyway, anyone who wants to know more details of the temple program, of the temple program, can look in the hallway where it is posted, and it's all right, I think. He's running to bring one, so we have to wait a moment, and then I will read it to you. Of course, very soon there will be a very nice feast offered to us. After Srila Prabhupada has completed taking prasadam, because that is what is going on behind that little curtain on the stage. It's okay. Six, yeah. In case you were wondering what's going on behind the little screen there, is Srila Prabhupada's taking prasadam. And so after he's finished, then we too can honor the prasadam. So we must patiently wait for that part of the program. And we assemble again this evening at 6 p.m. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. All disciples of Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. All grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. And all followers of Srila Prabhupada who are coming from everywhere to celebrate this, ki jai.